can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Oh, here we go, take two with this song, because we have a special show today. Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, okay, I just want to clarify one thing real quick. Uh-huh. I am standing and dancing because
the song rocks
and it embodies the way I feel when I think about what we need to do moving forward. And so it is perfect for our guest today.
Wow. I know. Yes, our guest, we're so excited because we tried to have him on last, a couple weeks ago, whatever it was. And unfortunately, there was technical difficulties. So this time, I think we've got it all worked out. So today, we're going to be talking to David Weissman, who is a man who was a Trump supporter. And mm-hmm. he has now become a Democrat. He sees things differently. At least I know he's a liberal. I have to ask him if he's become a Democrat. But he's a liberal. And I believe this all started, but we're going to find out, with a conversation that he had with Sarah Silverman online. So let's introduce him. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, and thank you for having me on.
we're so curious about your story because, you know, obviously both Steph and I are feminazi liberal sluts and so we're used to being called all kinds of names and by conservatives who don't like our ideology. And I'm not saying you would have ever called us a name, but you used to be one of those conservatives who had that, you know, outlook. And mm-hmm. So why don't you just explain to us where your head was and then that converse, like who you were, what kind of Trump supporter you were, and what, sure. you know, made you become, or what led you to believe all of that stuff. And then what was the thing that happened with Sarah Silverman?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I've always been a conservative Republican. Most of my adult life, I'm voting Republican in every election. And I was very strong conservative, and I started basically watching after, I think, 9/11 really what took place, being in the military and, okay, there's stuff going outside, you know, in the real world here, and that, you know, it's outside of my bubble. So then I was getting into politics, and I first started watching Fox News and Sean Hannity, of all people. So that's where I began learning about politics, conservatism, and, you know, the Constitution and all that, and, you know, really began from there. And turning it, you know, and being a conservative, and when President Obama was in office, he had Hillary, Secretary of State, and I was in so many different Facebook groups, so many different, groups, and went to different places where conservatives meet, and there was all this, you know, hatred for President Obama and Hillary Clinton, of course. And I really never decided to go outside and research facts. And, you know, I was so stuck inside this conservative bubble, and that was one of the biggest problems. And I think that's a lot of the problems that many people have. And that's why they have so many closed-minded views. Because, you know, when I grew up, you know, we really didn't talk a lot about politics. And my parents were like, you know, you never talk about politics. You never discuss that with anybody. You know, they were so strict on that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's why when I saw this for the first time, it kind of hit me, and I felt that this is the right thing to do. You know, I felt, you know, free speech for conservatives only, you know, that's the right thing. You know, you stand for the flag, you know, as you see in the army. Mm-hmm. You know, all of this stuff, you know, because that was the first time I was really experienced all the stuff at, you know, while I was in the army when I got out. And you know, that, you know, when the elections came, you know, we learned about Hillary Clinton through a lot of conservative media, and, you know, they basically made her out to be Satan. And yeah, I was kind of the guy that called liberals names.
I just can't get it. You're so lovely, and you're so, maybe it's because we're so happy to have you, but when I read your post, you're such a great writer. And you have this way about you that is, it's almost apologetic. Like, you know what? I'm sorry for, well, it is apologetic. But anyway, I find it hard to believe that you called anybody names. But anyway, please continue.
Well, and And that's what actually led to the apologies, actually. I was very aggressive, and, you know, conservatives are always so angry, and I actually tweeted about this the other day, how I'm saying how liberals, you know, besides politics, you know, are joking, laughing, you know, having fun with things, and conservatives are always, like, so tension and And, you know, that's what it always was, and every time when I, you know, when the elections kicked off, it felt like you were going to social media combat, you know, anybody that said anything about Trump, you know, and that's what I talked about in an article about the DM groups, and there's a lot of Trump supporting groups in Twitter, and, you know, when Trump says something, you know, of course that gets trending, and then, you know, everybody talks about it, and they go after that person, and that eventually led until Senator Silverman, right, during that time, a lot of conservatives were getting shadow banned and censored, and, you know, and now I know why, because a lot of conservatives are, you know, not so nice people. Any time a liberal would do something like, you know, out of crazy comedy act or whatever, we'll ask, hey, Twitter, why is this person so verified? Why is this person still have an account? And Sarah Silverman had the little skit where she dressed up in a Hitler costume, you know, with a gallows humor, but she actually explained that to me. And I was like, I actually sent her and Stephen Colbert saying, Twitter, why are you guys allowing having this kind of stuff on here? And, you know, why is nothing being done happen to them? And then she actually replied, and she mentioned about gallows humor and explained it. And I kind of researched about gallows humor, and I found that she was actually correct. And then I was like, okay. And then I thought that was very cool that she replied, because most celebrities would actually block you or not even respond. So I was very caught off guard that she actually replied to my tweet. And then I guess I had a thing of curiosity, like, wait a minute. And I think that's when I started asking questions. And at first I was kind of sarcastic about the questions. Because, you know, there's so many talking points that conservatives have, and that, like, you know, why do liberals care more about, you know, quote unquote illegal aliens more than veterans or military? So that was one of the things I tweeted to her, and she responded. She said that, you know, you can actually care about both. And it wasn't just her. A lot of her followers were actually pretty respectful as well. And, you know, they were showing me articles. They were showing me different things that, wow, there's all these liberals that do care about military and do care about veterans. And not all immigrants are MS-13, like a lot of conservatives say. You know, conservatives will say, you know, they're coming in, you know, there's invasion coming, you know, like what Tucker Carlson says all the time. Ugh. And so I'm learning all of these things outside of conservative media. And, you know, it's not just Fox News. There are so many different conservative outlets out there. And it's actually worse than Fox News. And so I saw this, and I was really shocked. And I was like, that was being a military, being a veteran, that was one of the first things that really, like, struck home with me. And I'm like, oh my, you know, this is, you know, one of the big things I was debunked. And then I thought, you know, if they were wrong about this thing, are they possibly wrong about other things?
And possibly.
I found out they were. So then I asked about abortion and porn choice, and people were explaining to me that, you know, nobody likes abortion. You know, that's, and no one just goes out there, hey, I'm going to have an abortion. And you're saying, you know,
it's not a bucket list item. Let's just put it that way.
And, you know, they're like, you know, it's about women's rights. Women have control of their bodies. And they were explaining to me, you know, the conservatives are not thinking about after pregnancy. And I was like, wow, that's another stuff that they don't think about. Because, you know, conservatives say, you know, just like they had a guy, I don't know, you saw that. Well, yeah, you replied to that tweet from my former boss that I used to write for. You know, he was like, abortion is murder. And it's like, okay, do you have any plans for the child after they give birth, after the mom gives birth? And, you know, no one, consumers never talk about that. They don't talk about after pregnancy. They always say, oh, the child has a right to live. And that's it.
Right.
And then when I had a discussion with Sarah about it, you know, people were talking about Planned Parenthood. And it's not this evil organization that consumers make it out to me. They have health care for men, too. I actually just went through their site and actually looked at all the stuff that they provide. And I was really pretty shocked. And, you know, this one thing led to another, more and more and more. And, you know, it's not just Sarah Silverman. No, what I give her credit And she actually quoted on a tweet, and I still have it saved, how she, and this is before I decided to stop supporting Trump or decided to be a liberal. It was just understanding why liberals are thinking, where she actually said, you know, hey, he supports Trump. I know, but we're able to have discourse and it was very respectful. And when she did that, that's when it really hit me, like, yo, I don't have to be this asshole. You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say asshole, but...
We say it all the time.
Oh, okay, cool. You know, I don't have to be this guy always arguing and, you know, yelling, you know, we can learn. And from, you know, like I said, from that tweet on, it was completely different. I was trying really hard to learn. And then and while I was doing that, I was starting to talk to more people. And, you know, I mentioned a few people in an article and learning about, you know, racism and, you know, you turn off Fox News and you see there's racism every day. And it's like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. You know, police brutality is real. It's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you see Fox News. Fox News is always like, oh, support the blue, you know, support the cops. So, you know, and you know, when you see, they talk about, well, I don't see the video order, and they talk about police brutality. Conservatives are like, oh, there's always, he probably deserved it. You know, that's what conservatives will say, that he's probably, like, racism doesn't exist. And so you can think of it. And then, you know, when I started seeing all these other videos, and I'm amazed, like, wow, you know, this is why they're actually kneeling or, you know, protesting the anthem.
Yes.
And, you know, and when I was talking to liberals, talking to other people about free speech, and everything, it also hit me that, you know, free speech is not what, you know, what you're allowed to say. It's what other people say, too. And other people have the right to free speech. And, you know, as a veteran, you know, we should support everybody's right to free speech, even if it's different views. And so, you know, one thing led to another. I started questioning more. I started learning about more. And I started going back and researching. And I actually talked with a few people about President Obama and Hillary Clinton. And I'm learning, you know, she's not, you know, Satan, like conservatives say she is. And they're you know, I've learned how Chelsea Clinton used to get all kinds of crap when she was just a teenager. Mm-hmm. And it feels like this whole other... You guys ever watch Star Trek?
Oh, yes.
Well, you know how they had the mirror universe, right? Like a totally different universe. That's what it feels like right now. You know, I mean, that's like a whole totally different America. And it's just amazing how media is, and, you know, when you have actual media and then you have propaganda. And I've learned that Fox News and a lot of these conservative outlets are propaganda. They seem to have an agenda and they're trying to get people. And that's where there's so many people that are so in fear. And, you know, I'm learning that conservatism is like this, you know, it's about fear. You know, they're afraid of, this is all the weapons. And that was another issue that Sarah Silverman and I tweeted about, you know. And as someone that's so progressive as her, he's like, no, I don't want, you know, take all your weapons. You know, you just want to have, you know, common sense laws to, you know, you'll bring down mass shootings. And, you know, certain weapons shouldn't be on the streets, and certain people, you know, like mentally ill or criminal backgrounds or shouldn't have weapons. You know, that makes sense.
Right.
And the conservatives saw this one article written by one judge that said, oh, it must repeal the Second Amendment. And they say, see, look. All the liberals want to take weapons. You know, from one judge, and I'll generalize everybody that's not pro-Second Amendment.
You know,
and I learned so much about the NRA.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Before you talk about the NRA, I have a question that I want to just understand this, because this is something that, you know, oftentimes liberals will post a picture of Trump mocking that disabled journalist, or they'll bring up the fact that he said that, you know, you can grab women by the pussy. And that should have ended his candidacy. In fact, back in October of 2016, my boyfriend was traveling across, he was back east, which we live now, but at the time we lived in California, and he was visiting his mother, and the whole tape came down with him talking about grabbing pussy and all that, and I thought to myself, you know, I thought, that's it. So I called Bob, and I said, he's toast. And it turns out I was wrong. And, you know, so I'm wondering, what was your mindset when you heard when he said that, and then also when he mocked the disabled journalist? Because I don't understand how anybody, no matter, you know, I mean, I don't have a problem with conservative ideology when it, I mean, I may not agree with someone who wants to, I don't agree with people who think abortion should be illegal. I get that if you don't want to have an abortion, don't have one. You can think it's wrong and you can think whatever you want about it. I respect that. I may disagree with you, but I respect the fact that you think that it's wrong. Or, you know, if someone thinks it's wrong. But what I don't understand, you know, I know that there are people who have certain ideas about, you know, our economy and how it should be run and taxes and this and that. But what I don't understand is the acceptance of such rampant sexism and such, I don't know, like the mocking of a disabled person. I don't even know what to call that. I mean, it's not even bigotry. It's just so mean. And so at the time when you were a conservative and you voted for Trump, how did you justify that in your mind? How did you, was it even an issue that you grappled with, or what did you tell yourself about it?
Well, I ignored the mocking in the special needs personal corner. I just kind of, that one I didn't touch. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm trying to tell myself, okay, he's human, and you know he makes mistakes, but he's better than Hillary, mm-hmm. and that's how a lot of conservatives felt, that he was better than Hillary. And same with the sexism part, you know, locker room talk, which a lot of people said, and I kind of said, hey, being in the military, I locker room with soldiers, and you know, they say all kinds of stuff. So that, even though it was, you know, it's, like you're right, it is wrong, you know, no matter how anyone will look at it. So, and that's the thing with the Trump supporters, no matter what he does, people will find ways to justify it. I mean, Bill Mitchell actually joking on the fact that Trump called Stormy Daniels, was it a horse face?
Yes.
I mean, I'm thinking to myself, you know, anything Trump does, and you're not even the same thing with Saudi now.
You know, sorry.
So that was it. We just find ways, we talk amongst each other how to defend Trump so he can get elected. And like I said, that brought me to apologizing to Hillary Clinton when it was because a lot of it was hatred towards her. Just conservatives, so many conservatives had this massive hatred for her. And sadly, I didn't think for myself at the time in this, what with it, because I felt, I mean, a lot of this propaganda articles and columns, you know, said all these things about her, and I didn't really think to go outside and to go look at the facts.
Right.
You know, Benghazi, emails.
I mean, yeah, no, these people, I just want to jump in here real quick because, you know, to Kimberly's point, he's toast. Not only was he not toast, but it helped him.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about horse face. Now, I could turn around and call him sphincter mouth, but I don't do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm, you know, the Democrat, you know, there's a lot of, we got to get down in the gutter. We got to fight fire with fire. And, you know, there are people like Nicole Wallace who, like you, have come from the Republican side of things, where she not only was a devoted Republican like yourself, but she was a Republican in the freaking Bush W. White House. And so people are waking up, people with platforms. You have a platform. Nicole Wallace has a platform. There are many others. Steve Schmidt, mm-hmm. Michael Steele, all of these dyed-in-the-wool Republicans who have come out and said, no, this is wrong. Horseface is not okay. And yes, I got my little slam in there, but you get where I'm coming from. When is enough enough? Is it not enough that the Trump administration, you know, Kushner and the like, Trump himself, his disgusting sons, they're indebted financially to the Saudis. And the Saudis killed a journalist who happens to be a person of color, who happens to be a Muslim. But, you know, when is the line drawn? They used a bone saw on this guy. Like, people are being murdered. Children are still being kept in cages. Kids, parents of these children who sought asylum have been sent, deported, and five-year-olds are being forced to represent themselves in a court of law. When do we draw the line? At what point, David, and this is not, I'm not blaming you, I want you as a voice of freaking reason and someone who has seen the light in all this wrong that is being committed. How can we change it in your view? How do we turn the corner? How do we get back to decency and love and peace? And we are all equal, and women are equal, and people of color deserve to be in the forefront, not in the margins, and not, you know, beaten to shit for taking a knee to speak out against police brutality. How do we, what in your view is the turning point? How do we get there? Sorry, that was a mouthful.
Well, with me, I think when enough was enough was when I started dialoguing. And even before making any decisions of stopping my support for Trump, and, I was actually on this, you know, some of the higher Trump supporter profiles were, you know, talking about me and saying, hey, I'm this implant, I'm this trainer. And basically, I felt the abuse that I was giving out to other people. And knowing the receiving end of that, knowing what that felt like, and even now, I mean, this has been going on for 7 months, and they're still going at me. I mean, just take a look at my mentions; it's not a pretty sight.
They won't stop either.
So, it is. I mean, knowing what that felt like, and then I see how it's just sort of like a wake up call, like a knock on wood, and you see it and you feel it. And I started watching Trump again. You know, while I was watching him, I saw how he's attacking Democrats the same way. And I was putting the two and two together and seeing how so divisive he is. You know, he doesn't want to bring America together. He has his own agenda, his own agenda with his base. You know, me, my rights, mine. But, you know, I don't care what anybody else has to say. You know, let's win regardless of me lying, cheat, and steal. And I'm seeing that, and I'm like, you know, that's when it hit me. That's when I realized, okay, this guy is not, you know, what I thought he was supposed to be. And that's when it's up for me to realize, you know, I'm no longer supporting this guy. Mm-hmm. It had to take something that drastic for me. But as far as dialogue goes, I keep telling people how, what Sarah did, how we were able to, like, come to terms. And just be respectful how, hey, I appreciate you listening to what we believe in, even though you don't have to believe. And, you know, I think, Kimberly, you said that about that as well, how, you know, you can respect, you know, each other and have really different political views. But that's what it comes down to, where we can just respect each other, have different ideas, different solutions without the gaslighting, without the attacking. And that's what brought down my wall. That's when I started beginning to asking more questions and began to researching everything.
You have an open mind. My fear is that so many people's minds are just permanently closed. And oftentimes my boyfriend and I, who's also a very political liberal guy, has mentioned, you know, like he wishes he could figure out like that one sentence that would snap people into reality. And again, that doesn't even mean that you're going to all of a sudden become a liberal. It just means that you're going to see that Trump is lying and that, that the Republicans are harming us right now. And I don't think there is one answer or no. One sentence. I think each person, and for you, you had an open mind. But I mm-hmm. think each person is going to... require a different point in order for them to see the light. But you know what? I want to make a point, and I want to see what you have to say about this, David, because this might seem a little tinfoil hatty or far-fetched or a little far-fetched, but this is what I truly believe. I believe, you know, they're the oligarchs, the people with all the money. You've got, I don't know exactly how many oligarchs there are in the world, but there's a few. Putin is one of them. The Koch brothers mm-hmm. are one of them, or at least a pair of them. And it is my belief that they want to basically take all the money and take all the power. They want to get rid of healthcare. They want to get rid of education. They want to make it impossible for women to either... you know, prevent pregnancy and have abortions. And this tells me that, you know, what they want, because now I used to live in Soviet Russia. I lived in Moscow in 19, 80 to 81. So I got to see firsthand a whole country that was basically a police state. Ooh. Hi, doggy. So I saw this police state, and I saw people who were under rule and who had no rights. They were told where to work. They were told basically how to behave. They weren't allowed to speak for themselves. They certainly weren't allowed to criticize the government. So what I think is happening is it's not that we're going to go to communism like we saw in Soviet Russia per se, but I think what the oligarchs want to do is take all the control. And if you have people who are not educated, who are not able to prevent pregnancies, and who are not able to access affordable health care, then you've got the young generation who's going to do all the work for little money and keep all the oligarchs in power. And I think that's the ultimate goal. Is that something that you've ever thought about, David?
No, not at all. I know in the conservative side of the house, they did mention Soros was something, the equivalency to that. And, you know, so that, I guess for the Republican side of it, George Soros, that seems to be the public figure. But it's possible, I mean, the agenda is going to come from somewhere when you think about it. I mean, right? I mean, it's got to come from somewhere. Somebody is trying to feed these people these ideas. And yeah, Koch and Saudi for sure. I mean, doesn't Saudi owns Fox News, or part of Fox News, correct?
I believe so. I know that George Bush had close relationships with the Saudis, but I believe if this would have happened under his administration, there would have been a different tone. Trump just doesn't give a shit. You know, Trump doesn't give a shit. Bush never, as much as I don't like Bush or his father, he never would have called a woman horse face. You know, that's not to say that I agree with anything he did or that they were. I'm somebody who believes that George W. Bush was not at all intelligent, and he was completely controlled by Rove and Cheney and his handlers. I think that he was just your basic good old boy, frat boy, who was a failed businessman, and his father just gave him, and the Supreme Court gave him the presidency, but, you know, his father gave him everything. I might get a little shit from this from you. I don't even think he's that terrible of a guy. I think he's selfish, and I don't think he's very bright, and I think all he wants to do is please his father. And get, I think he wants his father to, feel that he's valuable and viable. So, do I think he's a terrible person? I think Karl Rove is a terrible person. I think George Bush is just basically an idiot.
But he's not so much an idiot that he's not a terrible person. I've heard, I agree with everything you said, but the more I think about it, that guy who, by the way, I've romanced him a little bit, No, but I've romanticized, like, God, makes you, you've seen the comments, makes you not hate W
right.
Trump so bad. That's what I meant. Not romanced, romanticized. That was the word.
Well, yeah.
But here's the thing. Wait a minute. Let me just finish this tiny little thing. Here's the dude who was making calls to sitting
for Kavanaugh.
Yeah. So he is a shitty person.
Well, he is. But I think again, that stems from his wanting to please. I think does he hate women? I don't know. I'm not going to say I don't think he cares. But I don't think he has this active hatred toward women, which I think Trump has this, like, I don't give a shit about women, and if they sue me, then they're horse faces. I don't think Bush thinks that way. And it's, please understand that I am not defending Bush. I just look at him and I think this man is not very bright, and he was trying very hard to look like he was something he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, go ahead, David.
Question is, when you guys were talking about who's the puppet and who's the, my question is, how do you know who's the leader? How do you know who's pulling the strings? Like, what do you guys look out for? Because, I mean, where are the facts, and what do you guys do to find out who's in the wrong, who's the bad guy here? Like, what do you guys use to find out the truth and what's going on, in high places? If you understand my question.
Well, I do think that, you know, what do you call it? Putin is pulling a lot of strings. But, you know, I posted on my Twitter page the other night, how many countries have dirt on Trump? You know, it's not a matter of does Russia have something on Trump. It's a matter of how many hostile foreign powers have dirt on Trump. He
right.
is, you know, he's been wanting money for years. And, you know, Russia gave it to him. And Saudis are giving it to him. If someone tells him he's great and gives him money, loyalty, and
right.
they'll get him to do anything, wow. you know, do and say anything that they can have compromising information on him to get him to, you know, now that he's in a position of huge world power, you know, he's going to do their bidding. So it's like,
right.
as far as the puppet is concerned, he's the puppet of God only knows who. Certainly
right.
Putin, but,
well,
you know.
And to that, to elaborate on that, because he is the puppet,
we've got some noise in the background.
Sorry about that.
That's how I feel every day.
Yeah. We're going to have to wrap up soon, by the way.
But then we've got all of these ancient white men who have been in power, and I'm talking about the Senate, I'm talking about Congress, I'm talking about other, you know, cabinet positions, you name it, that they are so desperate to hang on to their power, to keep that power as white and male as possible, that they're willing to do Trump's bidding with us. And so, you know, it's this disgusting club. You know, whether it's coming from the Saudis or from Russia to Trump, then Trump is like, yeah, you know, I'll keep McConnell, I'll keep you, and I'll keep, you know, Orrin Hatch, as long as you can stand up and stay alive. I'll keep you there, and Chuck Grassley. I mean, these people have no regard for folks like you and me, certainly not folks like Kimberly and I, but neither do they care really about you unless you're voting for them, David.
Right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying?
And they don't even care about you. They care about your vote.
They just care about your vote.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen that now, for sure. Because
it gets them what they want.
Yeah.
So let's all vote. What you're voting blue,
yeah,
the whole
are,
town,
are you
right?
a Democrat now? Or have you registered
yes,
as
officially.
A Democrat? Interesting. So I guess that's a good thing. And, we're really happy to know that you were able to listen and look outside of what was comfortable for you. As a liberal, I always try to look at the other side and I try to come, you know, even if it's just to understand the mindset, not necessarily to be convinced to go that way, but to, you know, to take a look at how other people might be feeling about things. And
right.
so
and
we definitely appreciate that you have done that.
And that's one thing I mentioned it too on Twitter as well, that being on where I'm at now, I mean, being in team MAGA, you know,
yeah.
I never had any of this backlash or attacks or anything like that. You know, I was the one always doing attacking. Hmm. So yeah, I mean, you're right. It seems like, you know, you guys are more open minded, more talking than since I joined you guys. Now I'm seeing all the attacks, all the gaslighting, and all. It's crazy. It's like, wow. And it's been amazing several months with so many different emotions and it's really, it's a lot to experience.
Well,
yeah,
thank
I'm
you.
Sure.
Thank you. I mean, thank you for opening your mind. Thank you for talking to us. I think your story is quite interesting and I wish there were more like you out there. It shall be interesting to see what comes up in the midterms. But before we let you go, why don't you tell people, you know, any place where you, whether it's on what your Twitter handle is or if you have a website information, whatever you want to direct
sure.
people to, you go for it.
Okay. You can find me at Twitter at David M. Weissman. And I write for different sites, the Forward. Write for Patriot Nonpartisan. So that's where you can find me.
Awesome. That's cool. And that's Weissman with two S's.
Correct.
Cool. Well, thank you, David. Thank you for talking with us and sharing your stories and opinions. We really appreciate it.
Yes,
well,
we
thank
do.
You. Thank you for having me on. I enjoyed it.
All right. Well,
thanks.
We will see you on Twitter.
Yay.
Awesome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Wow.
I want 80,000 more of him.
I know.
I want a million more of him.
I want 800,000 more of him.
I want a million jillion zillion more of him.
That's just interesting. You know, I mean, Bob was telling me that when he was younger, he was a Republican. And it's because, you know, his family was Republican. He was born in a Catholic home. And that was just what was normal. And when he went off to college, or I don't know what, if it was high school or college, anyway, a friend of his asked him, what happens if your girlfriend gets pregnant? And Bob said, well, that would be her choice as to what to do. And then it was like, oh my God, I'm a liberal. I just realized I'm pro-choice. And, you know, and it just took that little thing to make him understand that, wait a minute, I'm not the one who gets to dictate what a woman's going to do with her body. You know, and it was that one little thing. I mean, and you know, I think it's like I said earlier, each person would require their own little light bulb, you know, whether it's a thought or a, you know, a whole series of thoughts. But sadly, it's not just one thing. I don't know. You know, there's this person in my family who is a Republican and a Trump supporter who basically that she listens to talk radio, and it's like, oh God, I can only imagine.
Dear Lord.
And you know, but I also know that her support of Trump comes, I believe, from anger and resentment that she carries, that she doesn't feel comfortable addressing, whether it's addressing it out loud or even to herself. And I believe that conservatives give you, they fuel you with their fear and rage, and they validate your feelings of resentment and all of that. And so I think that, you know, again, I don't know what it would be for her. You know, I know that this woman used to mock the John Birch Society, which is basically now the Tea Party. It's the same ideals, the same principles. So she used to mock the very thing that she's become. And so I, again, you know, I mean, like, is there anything that could turn her in a different direction? I don't know. Maybe. But what is it? I don't know. Because it's like, I had a conversation with this man who's very smart. He has worked. Now, I'm not positive about this. I do know he worked with the United Nations, and I know he was a speechwriter. He might have been he was a speechwriter for influential people that you've heard of. And I met him in Santa Rosa at a bookstore. And we got, you know, he had a dog. So I saw his dog and I started petting his dog. And we started talking, and he's older than I am. And we had a conversation one day because I had dropped my books off to, you know, to this bookstore to have them sell them. And this is how I met him. And then he followed me on Facebook, and I would post about abortion. And then he would come around and call everybody inhumane because we believe in choice. And so and he would be kind of an asshole about it. So I got in front of him one day. He invited me to this little round table that he liked to have, where he would have a bunch of male conservatives talking about politics. And so he invited me, and I thought, all right. So I go, and so I presented this whole scenario to him about a woman getting pregnant who, you know, who's paycheck to paycheck. She doesn't have any family around to help her out with, you know, taking care of the child. Boyfriend just dumped her, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing, to where it was just too hard for her, you know, and the idea that there are some women that during the course of their pregnancy, the doctor tells them, you got to stay in bed now. My girlfriend had to stay in bed for the last 2 months of her pregnancy. When you're living paycheck to paycheck,
that's not feasible.
It's not viable. So I asked him this question. I said, okay, given all of, you know, the information that I've just told you, how do you respond to that? And he had nothing to say. He couldn't argue. So he basically just didn't answer. I had proved my point, but went home. Next time I talk about abortion, he's back to calling everybody inhumane. So, fuck him. I blocked him. Although interesting, he follows me on Twitter, which I think is really funny. Anyway. So, you know, I mean, it's like talking to David is interesting because, you know, you get that insight from somebody who's been on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. I'm very concerned because
we have to be concerned because we lost in 2016 when we thought it was in the bag because the president admitted to grabbing pussy. We've been duped. We've been blindsided. We've been cold cocked. We've seen almost everything at this point. the only, you know, if people, if Democrats or people who are going to vote blue, because I'm sure there are, you know, a lot of independents who are like, F
even
this noise, right?
Yeah.
Even conservatives. If people don't show up and vote our way, we lose. Mm-hmm. And so if we do not, you know, it pains me to think that there are people who share our views and our values who aren't up on politics, who don't know that every single vote counts, especially now when, you know, Native Americans are being disenfranchised to the, you know, how much, what did Heidi Heitkamp win by? 2,800 votes, yeah, or some crazy ass number. And 80% of the Native American vote went to Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. And 5,000 of them have been disenfranchised and will not be able to vote in this election. We just lost the Senate.
Right.
Okay. So if we don't continue, you know, obviously stuff is working. Mm-hmm. You know, our protests are working. Our voices are being heard. But it's like, you know, we talked to John Pavlovitz almost, what, a year ago, Kimberly? Yes. And we said we were fatigued.
Right.
Okay? There's no rest. I'm exhausted. I'm fat. I'm fucking tired. I'm not as horny as I used to be. I mean, like, the list goes on and on and on. But we cannot. There's no rest.
Yeah,
I know. And even if we win on November 6th by taking back the House, which, you know, the math is all there. We can do it, but people got to show up.
Yeah.
I can't control you. And you know, you being the rest of the folks
right
out there. I can only go to Devin Nunes's district and talk to people in that district and canvass and say, it is of critical importance to your existence, if you believe the things I believe, that you get out to the polls and you bring three friends with you, mm-hmm, and you load your car up and you make sure that you've done the research to find out that your polling place is still your polling place, mm-hmm, and that you're registered there. Like, fuck me.
Yeah. Right. Oh, it's so frustrating.
Right. But, oh, well. But I am going down to Andrew Janz's district. I am going to rock the door knocking. I'm bringing my kids.
Yeah.
I got a caravan going. We are going to make it happen. You know, Nate Silver says Andrew Janz only has a 1 in 30 chance of winning. You know what, Nate? Guess what? You weren't super correct 2 years ago on election day. I'm going down and I'm going to knock doors.
Well, we just have to ignore the polls. I mean, we're going to be disappointed in some races. Like, I mean, is Jan's going to win? Is Beto going to win? Is Bryce going to win? There's a whole bunch of them out there. You know, the governor, the woman who's running for governor in Atlanta. You know, all of
Abrams.
These Stacey Abrams. They're not all going to win. I would love that they would all win. But I'm just looking at, you know, what's likely, some of them are going to take hits. I'm a little worried Ted Cruz is going to win over Beto. But you never know. You know, you never know, because polling is going to only be able to provide us with so much information. And while some polling can be really accurate, other polling is not necessarily going to represent what the true turnout is going to be. So we're just going to wait and see. We've got less than 3 weeks now. So...
yeah.
You know, we're just going to have to see.
It's 20 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, it's 20 freaking days. All right. We have a new sponsor. I am so excited about this. And I've thought of a zillion ways that we could put this. Like, you know, I'm just going to read it straight. I'm going to talk about it. And then you and I, we've got stuff that we need to say, but you know, like, we are women of a certain age, right?
Yes. I'm 50.
And I'm going to be 53 next month, but I can kick and I can stretch and I will be able to do that for many, many years because I like to stay active. But like, you know, I said it just a couple minutes ago, pressures of life, mm-hmm, you know, as we get older, maybe sex drive isn't as strong as it once was. Some people suffer physical setbacks when they get older, where, you know, sex is concerned, right?
Yeah.
I mean, women and men. And so with that, I want to unveil our newest sponsor. It and that is, drum roll please, Blue Chew.com. All right, that's the color blue, and that's chew, like yum 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 yum. Because BlueChew.com has created the first chewable supplement packed with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Because they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises.
Right? Get it?
Get it? And there's no shame in any game. No. We like sex. We're just a little bit older, and sometimes you need a little kickstart. And that, you know, now that I said start, that's the promo code you would use. If you want to try Blue Chew, go to bluechew.com, enter promo code START, like start me up. And these things will start you up. Gentlemen.
They're made in the USA, too.
And they're made in the USA, right. And here's another bonus. They prepare, Blue Chew ships directly. So you place the order, they ship it directly from, it's you to them.
Totally
it comes
discreet.
Straight to you. Totally discreet, and it's cheaper than a pharmacy, so you gotta love that.
And there's
so
also here's no doctor's visits. And no pharmacy, no doctor's visits. And then you get a boner.
And it's a bonus when you can get a boner. Check this out. If you want to try this, you know, ladies and gentlemen, right? Visit bluechew.com, BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code START. All you got to do is pay the $5 for shipping. Okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I just want to add that, you know, as a 50-year-old woman, I've experienced differences down in my area. And so I don't take this, obviously, because this is designed for men. But what I do,
penis is why.
Right. What I do, though, is I take bioidentical hormones, and it's made all the difference because, without getting too descript as to what's going on, it's all the typical things that you experience when you get older as a woman. And so sometimes your libido decreases, there's less moisture, all those kinds of things can happen. And so, you know, with taking, you know, these, it's not a supplement per se, it's a cream that I take, but still in taking it, it keeps my sex life alive. And God knows in this day and age of divisive politics. And like you said, you know, your libido has gone down because you're so exhausted. I know that during the whole Kavanaugh thing, it was odd. It was almost like a weird experience with sex, because it's not that I was thinking about it during sex, but just the idea that I was feeling so vulnerable when it came to being a woman in this country and then having sex. I don't know how to describe it, but it was like, it was something that not while I was having it, but not right before, but I mean, just during the day.
Well, it was on your mind.
I would think about it.
Yes. And if that wasn't a boner kill to the guys in our lives, you know what I'm saying? So all around, bluechew.com, promo code START. Try it for free.
And then let us know.
And let us know.
Did you get a boner?
Let us know. Yeah. We are in your camp. We want you to have a boner. We want ourselves to be on the receiving end of that.
We do know that there are a lot of men who like our show. We get mostly comments from men, so we know you're out there listening.
All right, so check it out.
Okay.
BlueChew.com, promo code START.
Cool.
Love you.
You know what? Before we wrap up, I'm when we go into another thing, one of the things I'm going to talk about, and I'll talk about it just a little bit here, is the fact that my Facebook profile was killed off last Thursday. And I can't tell you how upsetting that was for me. And it's still gone. Mm. I don't know if I'm going to get it back. I might get it back. But just so everybody knows, because this happened, I used to blog, and then my blogs were posted on various Facebook pages. And I earned money from my blogs. So Facebook was a platform where those blogs would be shared more so than any other platform. I mean, you can post your stuff on Twitter, you can post your stuff on Instagram, But, you know, especially because my following was so large, I had more eyes to take a look at the stuff that I was writing. And that's part of my income. Blogging is part of my income. So as a result of losing my page, now I'm not able to share those. And not only did I lose my page, there were many public like pages that, you know, I worked with this guy, Sam, who ran Liberals Unite, and he had a variety of public pages like Liberals Unite and Third Wave Feminism and, you know, various other ones. They're all gone now. And so I'm going to go into why I believe that happened in the next segment. But since now a lot of my or the main part of my income is gone, I started up my own Patreon writing page. So we have a Patreon page for this podcast, which is Start Me Up. But I started, it's Kimberly A. Johnson, Politics, Sex, and Body Image. And it's basically patreon.com/Kimberly A. Johnson. And that's Kimberly, K-I-M-B-E-R-L-E-Y-A Johnson, all one word. People usually don't remember the extra E. And it's not Kimberly. People always do that. So it's Kimberly. Anyway, so you can visit that page. I just started it. I'm going to write about body image. In fact, one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm writing this book right now about my relationships with men. And there's the through line, but I'm not going to really go into that. I want it to be at the end of the book where I make my point. But in the meantime, it's just going to be entertaining stories about the relationships that I've had in my life. And basically I was single for 30 years. And when I say single, I mean, not even in a committed relationship. I had a committed relationship when I was 18, lasted for 9 months and 1 week exactly, broke up. I met him when I was 17, turned 18. And then, we broke up, and then I didn't get into my next committed relationship until I was 47 years old. And so, I dated, and there were guys that I went out with for periods of time, but we weren't committed to each other. So and some of that is really funny. Some of it's kind of tragic. Some of it is, kind of sad, but it's all interesting. And so what I'm going to do is, as I'm writing my book, occasionally I'm going to release some of what I've written, whether it's an entire chapter or just one story. And so subscribers, you know, I'm also going to be talking about body image issues. So subscribers can pay $2 a month to get my body image stories, and they're going to be personal, and $3 a month to get stories from my book. But then there's just the basic, anything you want to, you know, go ahead and donate anything you want, because I'm going to be writing stuff that's free and available to everybody to read too. So I just wanted to make everybody aware of my new site. So again, that's Patreon. Patreon.com/Kimberly A. Johnson. And I guess that's it. We're going to go over to another thing, and I'm going to share my little secret too of, I think I'm losing weight, and I'll tell you how.
Oh my God, I'm jealous.
As a 50-year-old woman. All right, see you on the other side.